as you probably know, hopefully know, this is the discipleship or discipling class, you could say. And the focus today is going to be on getting started at discipling or getting better at it. So I believe that should cover all of you. So that's going to be what we're looking at today. So before we go any further, let me open up our time in prayer and we'll get started. Lord, we do thank you for this morning, for just the gift of a new day. Thank you for your many mercies in our lives, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for the rain, Lord, that you've sent us. And Lord, just remind us of your care and your goodness, Lord, even of the way that you love your enemies, and Lord, how you've commanded us to love our enemies with a similar heart, Lord, that you send your rain and your sun on the righteous and the unrighteous. And just thank you for each person that's in this class, for those that are still on their way, and just pray that you would help me and guide me as I teach through this material, Lord. I pray that it would honor you and that it would be a helpful blessing to each of these individuals, and it would help to strengthen your church, Lord, as you continue to build it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right. Well, today is our final class for this series or course on discipleship and discipling. And I wanted to begin by reviewing what we've covered so far in the first two classes. And then again, I want to move on to getting into the very practical how-tos of getting started in a discipling relationship, or if you already have one, hopefully provide some ideas that you might want to try to implement to improve your current and future discipling efforts. So that's what we're seeking to do today. So in class, the first class, which I taught on what is discipling, I reminded you all of our purpose statement as a church. And does anyone remember or know what is our purpose statement as a church? You can see it on the front page of our website if you've been on there lately. Our purpose is to, right? That's the second part. And the first part, close. To preach Christ. Our purpose is to preach Christ and make disciples. So that is what we're seeking to do as a church. And so it's good to think about, right? What is a disciple? What is our role? What is our responsibility in that? So what is a disciple? If you were to define that, you can speak specifically in terms of what the Bible has to say, or just in broader terms, what is a disciple? Right, follower of Jesus, Christ follower, right? You could just say a follower, speaking of, right, because sadly, Christians are not the only disciples in the world, right? In reality, everyone is a disciple, right? It's a question of who are they following. But remember when Jesus called his disciples, he said to them, what? Follow me, right? Follow me. That's the beginning of discipleship. For those apostles and also for every Christian, right? Following Jesus. And also another term that we didn't mention last time, but I wish I did include, and I think we kind of talked around it but didn't use this particular term, is a learner, right? The disciple is a follower and disciple is a learner. And that's an important term because it reminds us that of the critical role that teaching and obeying plays in the life of the disciple, right? So it's a follower, but you're following the teaching, right? And you're learning and you're obeying, right? It's a focus on obeying the content, not just gaining more knowledge. So a disciple is a follower or a learner of Jesus Christ, or you could say a following learner of Jesus Christ. So let's talk a little bit about what is discipling. And anybody remember some of the things we talked about? What is Well, let's start first with what is discipleship. As you may recall, there's a minor distinction, nuance between the two terms. This is not original with me. I got this from Mark Dever's book on discipling, which, again, I highly recommend to you. It's a short, simple book, but very helpful in on this particular topic. But discipleship is what? If you were to define discipleship, speaking specifically of a Christian, what does discipleship involve?
Coming alongside.
Okay, coming alongside. And specifically, yeah, coming alongside of someone else, definitely. And that's kind of where the nuanced distinction is that, again, you know, borrowing this from Dever, but I think it's helpful. He talks about discipleship being our own following of Christ, right? So really, discipleship, if you think about it, is a super comprehensive term because basically everything from the moment you get saved till, you know, you go on to glory, right? Till the Lord returns or till, you know, you breathe your last, it's all discipleship. So Dever points out that discipling is a subset of following Christ. Do you get that? Like, so in other words, part of our following Christ, part of our discipleship, our walk with Christ, is helping others to follow Christ. Do you see how that works? Like, that's what we're to be about. So, again, a very helpful definition that Mark Dever gives, which is clear and simple, is helping others to follow Jesus. That's discipling. Helping others to follow Jesus. Actually, the subtitle of that book that I recommended is How to Help Others Follow Jesus, right? That's keeps it simple, keeps it clear, but then we can go, obviously, into greater depth and greater detail as far as what that involves. And he gives a little bit of a fuller definition, again, quoting Mark Dever here, quote, discipling is deliberately doing spiritual good to someone so that he or she will be more like Christ, end quote. Say that again. Discipling is deliberately doing spiritual good to someone so that he or she will be more like Christ. You see the deliberate, the focus, right? What you're trying to accomplish, you're trying to help this individual to become more like Christ. Or you could say, you're trying to help them follow Jesus better, right? That's the end goal. And there's this deliberate, intentional aspect to it, which we will emphasize again and again. Here's a more detailed yet definition that we went into last and in that first class, rather. And this is taken from the Capitol Hill Baptist Church curriculum. It says this, quote, the intentional discipling, what is it? Quote, the intentional encouragement of Christians on the basis of deliberate, there's that word again, loving relationships and training in God's word. I'll read that again. Quote, discipling is the intentional encouragement of Christians on the basis of deliberate, loving relationships and training in God's word. So we spend a little time walking through some of the key terms and ideas from that definition. So first of all, discipling is intentional and deliberate, which we've already mentioned. It is not something that just happens. And that's important to keep in mind. Because sometimes we can think we're discipling, and maybe we are doing it to some, but it's almost like we're doing it accidentally. It's happening and it's beneficial, but it's like, but what? Where am I trying to lead this person to, right? Have I thought through? Have I prayed through? Have I considered where they're at and, you know, what their needs are? Have I listened to them to hear enough to understand how I might be able to help them? So it's intentional, deliberate. It is the result of purposeful initiative on the part of other Christians. Secondly, another term, discipling involves encouragement. You've heard this from Pastor Dave many times. We all need encouragement, right? Christians need encouragement in order to be faithful and to persevere in their faith. And one thing that I've discovered, and I'm sure all of you that have been involved in discipling another person to one degree or another, is that this is not a one-way street. Yes, you are seeking to encourage, but the amazing thing is that as you're trying to encourage them, you yourself will be encouraged. I'm not saying every time there's not going to be difficult things that you'll have to go through and all that, but overall, my experience has been, and I believe it's biblical truth, that as we're giving to others, as we're ministering to others. As I mentioned earlier, discipling is what? It's a subset of our own discipleship, right? So this is not like, oh, let me stop following Christ so I can disciple others, right? So I can be involved in discipling. No, that is following Christ, right? That's part of your following Christ. It's a very important part of your following Christ, is you're seeking. So as you're doing that, you're going to be encouraged as you're encouraging. And, you know, that's just one of the principles, right, that Christ taught, that, you know, we gain life by losing our life, right? As we give our lives away to others, that is when we truly experience true joy and the true we really live, as we, you know, deny ourselves and as we follow Christ and give our lives to others, right? Give ourselves away, right? That's following Christ, right? What did he do? He came, and I know Dustin mentioned this last week, he came what? Not to be served, but to what? Serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And we're called to follow in his footsteps, right? With that life of service for others. Well, next key idea, discipling is focused on making followers of Jesus, right? Let's not miss that. That is Christians, right? So it's focused on making followers of Jesus, not on just general moral reformation or even worse, copies of yourself. Okay? That's important. We're not trying to make disciples of ourselves. If you've done that, if I've done that, we've failed miserably, right? And we need to repent and apologize to that person, right? It's not about helping them to be more like us. It's helping them be more like Christ. Now, of course, the kind of let me try to say this carefully, but we are called to be examples, right? So we're called to point them to, you know, the ways that the Lord is by his grace, he gets all the credit, right? He gets all the glory. Ways that we are following Christ, we want them to imitate. Think about how often Paul mentions that, right? Paul wasn't perfect, but he was seeking to faithfully follow Christ. And how many times he says, hey, you know, right? You know my example. You saw, we lived among you. You know that this is how I lived, right? And that is what we're called. But again, it's all about pointing them to Christ and having them follow Christ. We are a means to an end. We're not the end. Does that make sense? I think last time we talked a little bit about that. We're a pipeline. We're a conduit. It's truth is traveling through us. It's not, we're not a reservoir. It doesn't end with us. We don't want people to think that, you know, being like us apart from Christ is the end goal. Hopefully that's not too confusing. Discipling is ultimately rooted in the Word of God, not just our good advice, right? So the Scripture, the Word of God, that's what they need. It's not about, you know, a few things that I've learned in life. Here's a few, you know, choice words of wisdom from my years of experience. Yes, you can share those things, but make sure that biblical truth, right? Biblical principles is that is the core, right? That's the foundation of what you're communicating to others. Notice this also, discipling is loving. Discipling is loving. To care for someone's soul in this way is love. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But that is a loving thing to do, to disciple someone else. And finally, on a related note, discipling is relational, right? It involves more than just watching a lesson on video. It involves humans sharing our lives with each other. It's built on a relationship, right? We actually should care about and love this person, be concerned about them, pray for them. You know, the command to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, right? And on a related note, and this is where it gets difficult, opening up your life to them, right? Let them see who you really are. Don't put on some facade and pretend you're something you're not. People usually can see right through that. And even if they can't, it's unhelpful to them and it's unhelpful to you, right? And again, being an example. How is it that Paul could point, you know, to Timothy and Titus and others and say, you know my life, You saw me, right? You didn't just see me get up in front and speak of a front of a crowd and like get whisked away into my limousine and, you know, go to my retreat, you know, cabin far away. Like you saw me. You were involved in my life. Paul opened himself up to that. That's what we're called to do. And again, Jesus, when he called his disciples, he called them what? So that they could be with him, right? And that he would send them out to preach and to minister. But they were with, they lived their lives with Jesus. They saw him, right, at meals. They saw him when he was tired. They saw him under pressure. They saw him, you know, right? They saw him in all these variety of ways. They saw Jesus. And they were transformed as they were with Jesus. Discipleship, discipling should be primarily carried out within the context of the local church. So that's an important point that we'll say more about later, but it's important to remember that discipling should be primarily done within the context of this local church. Doesn't mean you can't have any discipling relationships outside of here. It just means it's going to be most effective, most helpful, most beneficial when it's carried out within the context of the church, the local church. And in this course, we are talking primarily about relational or one-on-one discipling. You relating to another person, again, with the aim to do them good spiritually. So, you know, you could spread discipleship out to a much broader context, but this is more what we're focusing on. So the second class, which Dustin taught last week, was overcoming barriers and excuses. And Dustin did a great job walking through some of the possible barriers, some of the excuses that might be hindering us in our discipling of others. Do you remember what some of those obstacles and barriers were? If you were here last week, or maybe if you weren't, you could think of some others. Were things that prevent you or prevent others from discipling as they ought or as they would wish? Busyness, yep, that was one of them. Yeah, I don't, let's see where that one was. I don't feel like it, or I don't have time for it, which gets back to priorities, right? We make time what is most important for us, right? We make sure those things get done. So any other ones that you remember? Yep, exactly, yep, feeling inadequate. I don't have anything to teach. And, you know, Dustin addressed some of those things with, you know, if you're saved, you know the gospel. So that's a great place to start and make sure that, you know, the gospel is clearly understood, that it's being applied in all of its richness and fullness. That's an ongoing process for the rest of your Christian life. So start there, start with the gospel. And also, we have lots of great trustworthy resources that are available. We'll talk more about that. So you don't have to come up with everything on your own. You have to be wise and discerning about what you use, but you don't have to start from scratch necessarily. But it's not a bad idea to pick up a book of the Bible and read through it together with another person and study it as best as you can, you know, get some commentaries, get some study Bibles, you know, wrestle through things, and that you're going to grow the most actually through that. But again, there's all kinds of resources out there that and you're not alone in this, again, especially if you're doing it within the context of the local church. You have elders who have been given charge by God to, you know, watch over you, right? And give an account before God for you and can help you, right? Can guide you and steer you into good and helpful resources and steer you away from ones that are not so good or maybe that are dangerous. Like, I wouldn't recommend just doing a search on Google and picking whichever one looks good to you. That's probably not a good way to, I wouldn't recommend that either if you're, you know, needing surgery or something, you know, just doing a quick Google search and I'll go with that. So there's many other, you know, ones like intentional discipleship relationship turns friends into projects, right? It feels unloving. It feels like I'm just, you know, like just treating them like a project, not like a person. Talked about that. No, actually, if you are truly seeking to do them good and helping them to follow Christ, that is true love, right? That's the highest love. You're helping them in the greatest possible way, right? It's like giving someone the gospel is actually loving them in the best way possible, right? An unbeliever, that's what they need. Some would say I'm not gifted to disciple others. Others are simply more gifted than I am. Let them disciple. But no, God has given you gifts. Your discipleship might not be to the extent or might look different than someone who maybe is, you know, very gifted in that way, right? But you don't get off the hook. You need to be involved in discipling others. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, just like in evangelism, you can't, you know, it's not like you follow these three easy steps of evangelism and bingo, you know, you get a convert, right? That's not how it works. God is sovereign, right? In his work of electing and saving and causing people to be born again. That's not something you can do. You can give them, and we need to give them the gospel and make sure it's clear and accurate. But that's faithfulness right there. And pray, you know, pray that the Lord would work through those seeds of the gospel, seeds of the word that have been planted in the heart. Same thing for discipleship. You ultimately can't bring about the changes and the growth in that person, right? Which is a humbling reality. But that's a fact. You can't. And you will be frustrated and you will be discouraged. And you will also be led to pride if and when the Lord does bless your discipling and you think it's because of you, right? So there's two sides that you don't want to fall off on, right? You don't want to fall on the side of discouragement and despair, like, oh, nothing's working, you know, I'm trying and no change. And you also don't want to, oh, wow, look how godly I am. Look what a disciple maker I am, right? I'm successful. Let's take a look at, again, Jesus's great commission from Matthew 28:16-20, because this is a command from our Lord and from our Savior that we need to, you know, continually come back to and think through what he has called us to do in this regard. Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, reading from the ESV. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, right? This is after his resurrection, before his ascension. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Okay, so this is the clear command, right? From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be about the business of making disciples of him. This was not just for the 12. This was for the ones that the disciples would seek to make disciples of, right? And then they would teach them to observe all that I commanded you. And one of those things would certainly be the command that Jesus just commanded them, right? To go make disciples. So as they're making disciples, as they're going to all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them, they're going to teach the disciples to go make more disciples, right? Because guess what? If they didn't, and, you know, apart from God intervening, which obviously he can do, but this was his plan, there would stop being disciples, right? There would be no other disciples to make disciples and the church would come to an end. But thank God it's not dependent on man. It's dependent on Christ, who said, "I will build my church," right? And what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? So these are our marching orders. These are our marching orders. And also Jesus gives this very encouraging promise at the end of there, right? He says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we don't go about this business on our own, right? The Lord Jesus himself is with us in this work. Isn't that encouraging? And again, he's building his church. It's ultimately not dependent on us. All he calls us to do is be faithful. And that what that faithfulness will look like will look different in each of our lives, depending on your circumstances, depending on your gifting, depending on your training, depending on your opportunity. But all he calls you to do is be faithful with what he's entrusted to you. Not to be faithful with what he's given this person over here or that person over there. Listen to what Paul said to Titus in Titus 3:1. Dustin read this last week. Paul says this, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work." Are you ready for this good work of discipling? That's what I'm encouraging you with today. That's what I want to lovingly challenge you with to consider is, are you ready for this good work? Are you involved in this good work? Dustin also mentioned this last week. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Don't let the idea, right, is like, well, if I can't disciple perfectly, then I just can't disciple at all. I don't know how to, I don't have the training, I don't have the experience. Like, I don't want to be unfaithful in discipling, so I'm going to play it safe. I'm just not going to disciple at all, right? That's actually, as the quote says, an enemy of the good, right? Or another thing to beware of, which some of us struggle with, is don't allow the paralysis of analysis to stop you from actually doing anything, right? Well, I just need to write another book, read another book, rather, on discipling. I'm going to take this discipleship course, and there's discipling conference. I think I'll go to that. That's next March or April, and then, you know, then I'll be equipped, and, right? And then after that, then, right? It's like, no, I think the Lord would have you to be faithful with what you have now. And use that and get started. So with all that, getting started or getting better, okay? Getting started, and what I mean by that is, have you not even started, which is a good possibility for many of you, I imagine, certainly has been for myself at many different points in my Christian life, or getting better. So if you are involved in discipling, that's great. But how can you do better, right? There's always room for improvement. There's always room for growth. So step number one is honest evaluation. And hopefully over these past few weeks, you have already been involved in doing this. I don't remember who said it, but know thyself, right? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with what you're doing, what you're not doing. Do this prayerfully. Seek the Lord about this. Again, this is a command from Jesus Christ, right? This is a command from our Lord. So talk to him about it. Ask your spouse if you're married. Ask if you're married to a Christian who can, you know, help you evaluate that. Ask a good Christian friend to help you evaluate. Be honest with them and say, hey, I just want to know, how do you think I'm doing with this? Help me to see my blind spots, right? Don't be afraid of seeing your blind spots. We want to see those things, right? As a good friend of mine used to say, where are your blind spots? You don't know, right? Without the help of another person, they're blind spots, right? They're blind spots because, just like in a car, and you're right, if you're not careful, you can get in a serious accident, right? Because you can't see that particular area. And so in your life, there might be those areas. We all have them. I shouldn't say there might be. There are those areas where our blind spots, and we need others. That's one of the huge benefits of fellowship. That's one of the huge benefits of discipleship, right? So I don't have this in my notes, but just ask yourself, is anyone discipling me, right? And I'm not saying, well, wait till somebody starts discipling you and then you can disciple others. No, don't wait for that. But is someone discipling you? And if not, go talk to one of the elders and say, I want to be discipled. Can you connect me with someone who can disciple me? I'm sure they would be thrilled to have that. Alan, sorry. Yeah, I would say mentorship gets used as discipling. Yeah, I think a lot of those terms are used interchangeably. I think mentorship oftentimes gets used more in like a secular context. So sometimes that intentionality, specifically related to scripture and your walk with Christ, like sometimes that can get lost. So I think it's better to use, like, you know, the idea of discipling, but if by mentorship you mean the kind of stuff we're talking about and what scripture points us to is discipleship, then that's fine. You know, just as long as you're clear with your goals, what you're trying to accomplish, and that the person knows what you're trying to accomplish. You know, as sometimes people think, well, mentorship, you're going to help me with my career, you're going to help me with my finances, you're going to, and all of that can be involved in discipling, but that's, you know, it's all related to Christ, right? How are you following Christ at your job? How are you following Christ with your finances? How are you, and of course, that's what much of these Grace Equip classes are seeking to do, is to use discipleship in that broader sense, right? We're seeking to disciple through these classes, right? A word too before I put this in my notes as stop. Before you go any further, stop. Do not overlook the disciples in your home. Do not skip over them. If you're a husband, you're married, your wife is your primary disciple. Even if she's not a believer, guess what? Guess what the first step of discipleship is? This is convicting to me. It should be convicting to all of us. Evangelism. Because you want people to follow Jesus, right? If they don't yet follow Jesus, we want them to follow Jesus. And then discipling is helping them to better follow Jesus, right? So don't overlook the disciples in your home. Again, if you're a husband, that's your wife. If you're a father, that's your wife and your children. If you're a mom, that's your children, right? Like, don't skip over in zeal for, I need to go find some disciple and, you know, I don't have time to talk to you right now. I'm going to disciple other people. And sadly, some very effective, you know, pastors, missionaries, godly men and women in the past have failed significantly by overlooking their home, right? As they're on their way to minister to everyone else. And meanwhile, their wife and their kids are neglected. That's not honoring to the Lord. Right? And even in elder qualifications, there seems to definitely be an emphasis on, you know, the way that elder manages his household, right? And being devoted to his wife and such. This is essential. So your immediate family, your spouse, or children should be your number one first priority for discipling. The logistics and specifics of how this discipling looks like will vary widely from home to home. That's so important because many people can get involved in judgmentalism and legalistic standards and, well, you don't do it this way and this book said this and this program says you're supposed to do it this way and you need to homeschool your children if you're going to really disciple them. No, that's not in scripture. Look at what Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, and these are principles that parents should be applying regardless of how they choose to school their children. And it points to the comprehensive nature of discipleship within the home. It's really a perfect context, if you will, for discipleship and discipling. And these words, Moses wrote, that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. That pretty much covers all of life, right? As you're driving, as you're waking up in the morning, as you're putting them to bed, as you're, you know, whatever it is, you're sitting down for a meal, you're teaching them diligently, right? The law of the Lord, the word of God, the commands of God, that's what we're called to. Remember, the goal is trying to help them to better follow Jesus. And again, the first step is evangelism. They need to be born again. They need to become followers of Jesus first. That's step one. And discipling, although discipling your family is your first priority, it's not your only priority. Let me say that again. Because again, good Christians fall off on this side, right? Where it's like, oh, I can't be involved in that. I can't be involved in church. I'm just focused on my family. Which is commendable to be focused on your family. But remember the extent of Jesus' great commission. What did he say? Make disciples of all nations. Now, does that include your family? Yes. Is that exclusive your family? Exclusively your family? No. That this command extends to the ends of the earth, right? Nobody is excluded. So we can't just stop with our family. So, and I need to go through this rather quickly, but step number two is, if you are not currently discipling anyone, I want to give you a few action items to help you get started. So you can jot these down, or I can give you these notes if you want to just focus in and listen. But pray, obviously, right? That should be a given, right? Start with prayer. Ask God to lead you to someone whom you can help to better follow Jesus. Someone who you can do deliberate spiritual good so that they will be more like Christ, right? So pray that God will provide that person. Also related to that, again, speak to one of the elders. Speak to Pastor Dave. Speak to Adam and say, hey, I want to do this. I want to put this into practice. Can you match me up with someone that I can disciple? And again, as you're talking to them, as you're prayerfully, keep your eyes open, right? As we pray, we should expect God to answer, right? Now, this should be a given, but it is important, so I'm going to say it. It should be, if it's outside of your household and it's not your wife and your children, it needs to be someone of the same gender. So, men, do not go discipling women. Women, do not go discipling men. This, or go to seek to be discipled by a man who is not your father. Of course, the elders have a unique role, and that's done, you know, in a particular context, but you should not be having some ongoing one-on-one relationship with a person of the opposite sex. That's just a recipe for disaster. And there's many, many, many sad examples of that. So make sure it is someone of the same gender. Find someone who is younger in the Lord, okay? Because it could be that it's someone who's significantly older than you, who, you know, that has its challenges, obviously, inherent in that. And not saying that that should be your first choice. But if they just recently got saved, and you've known Christ for 5 years or more, or, you know, however, 2 years, 3 years, then you should be further along spiritually than them, right? You ought to be. And even if they're decades older than you, guess what? It's going to maybe be challenging for them to be humble and receive from you, but they should be willing to, because you are more spiritually mature than them. You are more equipped and able to, you know, help them in their following Christ, because they're babes in Christ, right? Even if they're 70, 80 years old and they just got saved, they have a lot of life experience, but spiritually speaking, they're spiritually immature. They need discipleship. Again, that's not the ideal situation, but if that's the only person around you that there's a discipleship opportunity and they want to receive, obviously you need to seek someone who's willing, someone who's even eager, I would say, is definitely the best scenario. Not someone's like, well, you know, I'm not really interested, then, you know, pray and pass on to the next opportunity. Again, I've already said this, but look first primarily here at Grace Bible Church. Doesn't mean you can't disciple other Christians outside of here, but this should be the first and the primary context for these discipling relationships. I just remind you, if you're a member here, you have signed a membership covenant, and there's a lot of things in there that can be very well facilitated in a discipling relationship. In fact, you could even say that discipling is a means to fulfill the commitments that you've made to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And obviously, all those relationships are not going to look the same, but I encourage you. And again, there's many, many benefits to discipling within the context of the local church. So in light of all that, look around this room. Maybe look around the next men's or women's Bible study or men's or women's breakfast that you attend. Again, talk to one of the elders, ask them if they know of anyone who they think you could meet with, who would be a good fit. And once you have found someone, make a plan. Remember, be intentional, be deliberate. Content, decide what to work through. And as you consider possible various options, remember Jesus' great commission. What did he say? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So that should be a great a filter for you in thinking through what kind of material to use. Ask for input and ideas from the person that you're seeking to disciple. Ask them, what are some things maybe that they're struggling with, an area of temptation in their lives? Maybe that's something you could focus in and on for a season. Are they just looking to grow in general in their walk with Christ? Are they looking to grow as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, as a faithful single college student? And some suggested materials for you to use. I know Dustin went over these, some of these last week. again, read and study through a book of the Bible together. That's an excellent way. And sometimes study guides can be very helpful in that regard. I know the women are going through the book of Philippians, you know, and they have a great study guide that could be something you could use. Discuss the sermon, right? Meet up with someone weekly or biweekly and talk about, hey, how are you applying the sermon? And, you know, use some of those questions in your Bible journals. Discuss the Grace Equip lesson, again, with a focus on application. Commit to attending with that discipling relationship and say, hey, we're going to meet up on Tuesday mornings and we're going to talk about how we're applying Grace Equip teaching in our lives. Read through a good biblical book together. Discuss a chapter or two at a time. Remind you again, we do have a lending library that you pass through every time you come into the church. Unless you have one of those special keys, then you miss out on that. But walk through that entry, and there's books there. Those are for you to borrow for free. We don't even charge you. But those are great resources there. You know, recently Pastor Dave recommended a book, Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes, which is super helpful because it goes through so many different areas of the Christian life, specifically, of course, for men. But it's been a great resource to use. And, you know, ask the elders for recommendations for good resources. And, you know, as particular contexts, if you found a book, you know, online or somebody else recommended, it'd probably be a good idea to ask the elders if what they think of that book and what they think of that author. And, you know, is that something that would be helpful? And once you've settled on the content, what you're going to be working through, then you need to get down into some more particulars, right? Specifics, like you're making an action plan, right? Because you actually want to do this and be faithful in it. So decide when and how often and where you will meet, right? Get concrete. Yeah, let's meet up sometime. That doesn't work very well, right? Yeah, we should do that sometime. That doesn't happen, right? And keep it consistent, keep it regular. I think weekly is ideal, but obviously that doesn't always work. But I would say at least twice a month or every other week. I think it's best in person, but if it can't be in person, you know, if you can't work it out logistically over the phone, over a FaceTime call, over a video call, I know there's so many Zoom call, whatever. There's, you know, if you can get a little bit more face-to-face interaction in that way, I think it's better. But even a phone call certainly can, you know, maybe, you know, get creative. Maybe if you have a long commute every morning and someone else has a long commute, maybe you can ride together or maybe you can catch up over the phone, you know, so there's all different ways. Decide how long you will meet for. I think this is important because you don't want the person to feel like, you know, that they're in a 7-year sentence with you or something like that, or vice versa, maybe. But no, I think it's just practically speaking, helpfully, hey, let's do this for 3 months. And 3 months, let's, you know, we'll reevaluate and see how this is going and see, you know, is this material still helpful? Do we want to switch to something else? But, you know, commit to a certain amount of time. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. A discipling relationship is not. And so I think that's important to go in. But however, it can become a lifelong friendship, and that's great. And I'm thankful I have some of those. And, you know, it's changed over time. It's not quite the same as it was at other stages in life, but that's a huge blessing to have that kind of discipleship relationship, someone that you can call, someone that you can seek counsel, seek prayer. That's awesome to have that. Here's just real quick a suggested meeting format. Again, this is just a suggestion. There's no command in scripture about this. I didn't receive this from the elders. But the word of God and prayer, of course, should be prominent in your discipling relationship. But here's just a sample, if you will, agenda for a discipleship meeting. There's very similar that I'm doing presently and have done in the past. Open in prayer, get caught up on life. Most of the time, this should be kept brief so you can get into the content, but there might be exceptions. You know, if the person's just, you know, torn up about something going on in life, you're like, okay, that's great. Let's go on to the material that we've studied, right? That's probably not the best approach. Remember, this is a loving relationship, so you should be concerned and care about that. Discuss the content of whatever you have been reading and studying through. Make sure that the content is being accurately understood. So that's an important part. Don't just skip right to application. Make sure that the content the teaching is being understood. Remember, teaching them, Jesus said, to observe all that I have commanded you. So there has to be the teaching part and the understanding so that you can know how to obey, right? How to put it into practice. Try to have one or two good application-oriented questions to drill down into the material. Encourage them in their own discipling efforts. Remember, part of their discipleship, what, is discipling others. So don't forget about that. You want to be leading them, that they ought to be very soon seeking out discipling relationships, of course, again, at home and with their family, not overlooking that. And in other relationships where they are seeking disciple others, again, 2 Timothy 2:2, remember what Paul told Timothy? Of course, that's in the context of, you know, a pastoral ministry, but certainly application for us all as believers, you know, find faithful men and trust these things to faithful men who will be what? Able to teach others also. So you want to teach and instruct with an eye on how can they be passing this on to others. Pray for them and pray with them. Prayer should be a part of your time. Ask them for ways that you can pray for them. Ask them to pray for you. Share prayer requests. Be honest and open about your own weaknesses, failings, and struggles. Don't pretend like you're perfect, right? Memorize scripture together. And this is just a practical one. Try to firm up your next meeting time at the end of your meeting. Well, our time is gone, but if you are already in a discipling relationship, that's awesome. And I hope that some of these things will help you to excel still more, help you to be more faithful and do a better job of it. You know, recognize there are different seasons in life where you will have more opportunities and others you have less opportunities. But again, think through how can we be faithful in this task that Christ has called us to, this great commission of making disciples of him, of all nations. Next Sunday, we're going to have a prayer meeting during Grace Equip, so encourage you to prioritize that. Encourage your discipling relationship person to come to that as well. The following Sunday, in the month of October, we're going to be covering Systematic Theology 1, which I believe Dustin will be teaching, and that sounds like some really good content for discipling someone with. So let me close this out in prayer. Lord, just thank you for your word. Thank you for, Lord, those that you've used in our lives to disciple us, to bring the gospel to us. Lord, some of us godly parents, some of us godly grandparents, godly relatives, faithful co-workers, fellow church members, faithful pastors and elders and shepherds in our lives. Lord, thank you for those that you have used to impact us, Lord, to disciple us, to help us to follow Jesus better. Lord, we ask that by your grace and for your glory that you would help us, Lord, to be about this great work, this great business that you have given us, Lord, to make disciples of all nations. We pray this all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.